ShareCare is the leading online health and wellness engagement platform, providing millions of consumers with a personal, results-oriented experience by connecting them to the most qualified health resources and programs they need to improve their health. It's time now for ShareCare Radio on RadioMD.com. Here's your host, Dr. Daria.
Hello, it is Dr. Daria here. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Let's dive into our news of the week. We're going to have an amazing show tonight and show today. So remember, if you miss any of the segments or just want to hear them again, you can find them at sharecare.com/radioMD. So first news issue for the week. This one's about vitamin C. And this is a new study that shows that high vitamin C concentrations in the blood due to consumption of fruits and vegetables are associated with a reduced risk of cardiovascular disease and early death. Now, the researchers looked at the DNA from about 100,000 people and also looked at their intake of fruits and vegetables. Those with the highest consumption of fruits and veggies have a 15% lower risk of developing heart disease and a 20% lower risk of early premature death. Now, why is that? So vitamin C does a number of things. It helps build the connective tissue that supports various organs in our body. It also is a really effective antioxidant to protect cells and molecules from the damage caused by many diseases and just life in general. So key takeaway here is our human body cannot produce vitamin C, so we have to get it through our diet. You can get it again through supplements, but this study specifically looked at getting it through your diet through fruits and vegetables. And most studies show that the very best way to get your intake of all of these vitamins is through your food. It's a better source and the best way to get it. So bump up your fruits and vegetables with vitamin C, those oranges, cantaloupe, spinach, tons of different options, and just, you know, you can find it online and find some great options to improve your health. Now, this next study was about the supplement called St. John's Wort. Now, as an ER doctor myself, I do have a lot of patients who ask me questions about medications and supplements. And the reality is there are often various interactions between the supplements and medications. So I always advise people to be very careful wherever they get that pill from. Is it, if it's from a prescription or if it's from the natural food store, it doesn't mean that one is safer or more dangerous than the other. So according to the new research, St. John's wort can cause the same negative reactions as antidepressants, and serious side effects can occur if you take St. John's wort with an antidepressant. Now, like I mentioned, it's really kind of commonly believed that St. John's wort, since it's natural, can be purchased without a prescription, that it's safer than a prescription medication. But it really is. It's a drug. It's a medication. It can cause serious side effects, such as dangerous increases in body temperature and blood pressure. Now, researchers compared the pattern of reported drug reactions to St. John's wort and fluoxetine, which is a common prescription antidepressant. And their reported reactions for both drugs were actually really similar. They said that people had had anxiety, panic attacks, dizziness, vomiting, amnesia, and even aggression. So, you know, what's a key takeaway? Again, even though St. John's wort does not require a prescription, you can buy it over the counter. It's known to be called natural. That does not mean that you can just take it without discussing with your doctor. It does not mean that it is necessarily safe. It does not mean that it won't have interactions. So I tell everybody, whatever the pill is, wherever you get it, have a discussion with your physician, especially if you are on other medications for depression or blood pressure or diabetes or anything else. They can all interact. It's exceptionally important that you have that discussion with your physician and the pharmacist. Now, this study got my attention as someone who likes to wear my high heels, but I also like to run around the office, and I like always have to run around the ER. Of note, I don't wear high heels in the ER. I learned that lesson very early on, but I do wear them at work. And so this new study found that wearing high heels leads to weaker ankles and ankle instability over time. So they looked at ankle strength and balance in women training to be flight attendants. And anybody who's seen a flight attendant, they spend a ton of time on their feet. And so they collected data from each class year to look at the effect of high heels over time. Now, a study found that if you consistently wear high heels for a long period of time, your muscles actually shorten in the back of your leg and they lengthen in the front. And that makes sense because you're sitting with your toes pointed, so that muscle in the front is a little bit longer, but that can significantly impact your muscle strength and cause problems because they force the foot also into a really kind of unnatural and kind of unstable position when your foot is in that pointed position. So what's a key takeaway? We love our high heels. We want to be fashionable, but wearing them too often or wearing ones that don't fit well or have too high of an angle can actually increase our risk of injury. So I actually have a blog piece coming out on this next week, so you can check it out on my Busy Women's Guide. But key points are to look for the right kind of heel. Look for something that's not too high, you know, something about 2 inches or 3 inches if it has a good platform, something that really cradles your foot well and fits very well. And take a break. Take off your heels. Do some specific exercises to strengthen the muscles in your leg and also to loosen and stretch them out to prevent injury and keep yourself looking fashionable and fabulous. So this next study, it's about the fittest seniors, moving from high heels to fittest seniors. And it says that the fittest seniors are half as likely as others to suffer from heart failure. Now, we're going to be talking later today about heart failure with a spokesperson for the American Heart Association. So stay tuned for that. But just a little bit of an update on it, intro. Heart failure is very common amongst older people and is the leading cause of hospitalization in Medicare patients. Now, this study followed more than 4,000 people ages 65 and older for up to 22 years. And during the time of the study, there were 1,300 cases of heart failure. Now, they looked at diet and heart failure rates and didn't see a big link there, but there was a link between exercise and heart failure rates. They said those who walked faster were 26% less likely to suffer from heart failure. Now, what's a key takeaway? We talk all the time about the importance of diet and exercise. In this one, exercise was the most important. Diet is also very crucial, but in this, exercise was something that we cannot forget, and it's crucial for longevity and quality of life. So, no matter what, as people age, does not mean that they need to stop exercising. We had an expert the other day, a couple of weeks ago in here, who was 94 years old, and he went walking a couple miles every day, had so much energy, and that is so key as we get older. Especially very good, that kind of weight-bearing exercise keeps somebody from having worsening osteoporosis and hip fractures and other fractures. So what do I suggest? Walking. If you do nothing else, go for a walk. Walk at a moderate pace or about a half hour, or even do some leisure activities outside, do some light yard work. All of those will help you not just burn calories, but stay healthy. As always, talk to your doctor if you suddenly are starting a new exercise program, but a little bit of walking is great for everybody. Now, this next study is estimated that more than 145,000 deaths per year are associated with lower education and not finishing high school. Now, they said that that estimate is equivalent to the number of deaths that could be avoided each year if all U.S. smokers were to quit smoking. This is a huge number. So they followed more than 1 million people from 1986 to 2006, looking at education levels and death rates. People with higher levels of education seem to live longer. And, you know, there's probably several reasons that it's not just the education. It's that they likely had healthier lifestyles, better psychological health. They're also less likely to smoke, more likely to participate in exercise, and more likely to have access to health insurance. So clearly, it's not just the fact of getting higher education leads to a longer life, but it leads to a number of factors and an environment that really encourages better living, healthier living, and therefore a longer life. So what's the implication there? That if we can do better to help people get the education that they need and improve levels of education, we will also be improving their health. Now, this last study, anybody who's a parent of a child or toddler knows the importance of naps. But this study looked at it for adults too. And it was a small study and looking at short naps and how it affects impulsive behavior. They studied 40 people ages 18 to 50. After 3 nights of normal sleep, they took tests on frustration tolerance. Then they had half of them take a nap or watch a nature video, and then they were tested again at the end of the process. Now, before the nap period, everyone spent about the same time on the project. Afterwards, those who had taken a nap were less likely to give up, and they worked harder, and they were less impulsive than the ones who took naps. So key here, we know that sleep is crucial for our thinking and functioning. If you're missing out on it, a little power nap may come in handy. There you have it. That's the top health and news you'll need to know for this week. For more health news throughout the week, follow me on Twitter at my handle at Dr. Daria or at ShareCare Inc. hashtag ShareCare Radio. We're also available on ShareCare at www.sharecare.com/radioMD. Thanks for tuning in and stay well.